Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. We are back to the celebrity estate planning topic, and for today's episode, we are going to dive into what happened following the death of David Bowie. Now, before I dive in, this reminds me of something a little random. I saw on Twitter the other day about someone that also does a podcast. He actually happens to be an attorney as well. And he had tweeted that he said he just did not really care about his subscriber count on his podcast or the number of listens, etc. And that even though it's kind of marketing 101 to make sure there's, you know, return on investment of time, that he's just okay with not tracking the metrics of his podcast. I saw that and I can totally relate. You know, we are 123 episodes in. If I truly cared about my subscriber count and the number of listens, etc., I probably should have bought way back when, like, fancy equipment, like microphones to make my audio better and, you know, market my podcast better, etc. But I just don't care about my metrics either. You know, I'm not doing this podcast to try and make it big and turn it into some, you know, turn myself into like a full-time podcaster. I do it instead to just get good, factual, solid content out there on estate and elder law. And you know what? I know people listen. Because people all the time, family, friends, clients, professionals, they will mention to me, oh, you know, I liked the episode on X, Y, and Z, or I heard you talk about ABC on your podcast. I say all of this basically to say I have no idea if most of my listeners are in their 20s and 30s, or if they're above 50. Or if they're mostly female or mostly male, you get my point. I don't know my listeners. So when I say David Bowie, or really any, you know, anytime I do this celebrity estate planning type of episode on someone kind of from a little bit back in the day, I have no idea if my listeners know who these people are. So that's why I always spend a little time at the beginning just to go over a little bit about the person, not only to maybe drop some fun facts about the person, but also for anyone that may not know who we're talking about. All of that to be said, let's talk about David Bowie first as a person before we talk about what happened following his passing estate-wise. So first and foremost, according to his Wikipedia page, did you actually know that David Bowie is not his legal name? His real name is David Robert Jones. So there's your fun fact for the day if you didn't know that. I didn't know that. For those that didn't know who David is, or that don't know who David is, I should say, he did a bit of everything. Singing, songwriting, musician, acting, all the things. Hailing from London, England, his musical interest really began in the 1960s. Like at the age of 15, he actually started his first band called the Conrads, that starts with a K, so K-O-N-R-A-D-S. After the Conrads, he joined another band called the King Bees. He was soon introduced to someone that helped him with his very first single called Liza Jane, but that single was not successful, my friends. He then joined yet another band, this time called the Manish Boys? Not sure how to say that, but again, he didn't stay too long because he dropped them and joined a band called the Lower Third. Around this time, his then manager helped him secure a contract with Pi Records, and it was about that time that he actually started going by David Bowie. He released a new single that, again, flopped. Poor guy, right? Now, to help kind of expedite things, he jumped around some more until 1969, which is when he got his first big hit. That's when his famous song, Space Oddity, got released, and it landed in the top 5 in the United Kingdom. This same year, he met his first wife, Angela Angie Barnett, and not long later, they married in 1970. They were married for 10 years. They ended up getting divorced in 1980. But of their marriage, they did have a child named Duncan, who was born in 1971. So really from the 1960s through the very early 1980s, David put out a lot of big hits and became incredibly well known. In a Rolling Stone article, they said, quote, "Selecting David Bowie's single greatest song is no easy task. Between 1969 and 1983, the man churned out brilliant music at a furious pace," end quote. You know what's kind of funny about reading that is, you know, I was going to name drop a few of like his top songs, but I was comparing a few different ranked lists, or like lists that showed like ranked songs. Like one was from Rolling Stones, one was from Billboard, one was from a website called Mojo. I'm not kidding, they all listed different songs in different orders. And honestly, that probably perfectly shows how talented David was, because all these lists had different songs. So what I'm just going to say is check out his music. And not only his music, but he was also in a ton of movies as well. So check those out too. While in his early 40s, David met Iman in 1990 while in Los Angeles on tour, and they later married in 1992. Of their marriage, they had one child, so that would be David's second child, named Alexandria. She went by Lexi, and she was born in 2000. They remained married until David's death in 2016. Unfortunately, David passed away in January of 2016 from liver cancer. According to his Wikipedia page, he was diagnosed with it 18 months prior to his death, but kept the diagnosis private. So following his passing, an estate plan was indeed located, and what happened estate-wise went a little something like this. So David had created a last will and testament that was executed in 2004. It was about 20 pages in length, which seems to me very short, very brief, for someone that reportedly left an estate of around $100 million. One of the stinky parts of having just a last will and testament and not further planning, like trust planning, for example, is that the administration of the assets that the will applies to is taken care of through a public court process called probate. According to the law office of Manish Bhatia, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, who is an estate planning attorney in Evanston, Illinois, he had actually wrote a blog on David Bowie's estate. But according to his blog, David's will was filed in the surrogate's court in Manhattan, New York on January 29th, 2016. So like I said, since probate is a public court process, we know detail for detail. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not really sure. Detail for detail what he had spelled out in his will. So let's talk about it. First, David left a few very specific gifts. In my little lawyer world, they are called specific bequests with a B. They are things that are really specific that you want to have happen. So David had a few of these things, which were, according to New York Times, first, he left $1 million to his child's nanny, Marion Skeen. He left $2 million to his longtime friend and assistant, Corinne Schwab, who I think she goes by Coco. He also left Corinne, or Coco, his stock in a company called Opossum Inc. But funny thing about this is I actually Googled to see what Opossum Inc. was and found an article on mirror.com. co.uk. It's in the source links for this episode. But that article was saying that there's a theory out there that this mystery company was David basically giving everyone a last laugh. The article actually says, quote, "The company has zero public disclosures, doesn't trade stock on any market, and there is no information to be found anywhere. However, A possum is a small marsupial with a propensity to play dead when he doesn't want to deal with the situation confronting him, end quote. So yeah, that is a little suspicious, right? And I can see why some may think that David is playing a joke on Coco. And back to the list of really specific things before anything else, he also left his penthouse in Manhattan to his wife, Iman. Now, everything else of his mega estate was split in like a percentage manner, which again, in my lawyer world, is often referred to as a residuary distribution. So it's kind of like, you know, whatever's left over after those specific things is split up like this. So it's often in like fractional, like fractions or percentages. The rest of his estate that wasn't specifically documented, like when I said like $1 million to his nanny, $2 million to his friend Coco, that sort of stuff. Everything else in his estate went like this. Half of his, and by the way, remember, of his $100 million estate. Half of his estate went to his wife, Iman. 25% or a fourth went to his son, Duncan. And 25% or a fourth went to his daughter, Alexandria, Lexi, through what is called a testamentary trust, which we've talked a lot about before here on Legal Tea. Because at the time that she inherited, she was under the age of 18. It's also reported, by the way, all of this is from the New York Times article, that he also left Lexi, through this testamentary trust, a house in Ulster County, New York. So that was also part of her inheritance. Now, a couple last notes. It seems there was no drama or fighting after David passed away, because I researched the heck out of David's estate, and I did not see any articles mention anything about anyone fighting. So huge kudos to the family and to the executor for keeping things civil. And by the way, on that note about executors, so David's will actually named two executors, his business manager, William Zeisblast, I'm just probably butchering several people's names in this episode. So William and a lawyer in London named Patty Grafton Green. Now it's reported that Patty Grafton Green resigned, which left William, his business manager, as the sole executor. The second and last thing I wanted to briefly chat about was David's wishes as it related to the disposal of his body. According to New York Times, David stipulated in his estate plan that he, one, did not want a funeral service, and two, wanted his body shipped to Bali, Indonesia to be cremated there, quote, in accordance with the Buddhist rituals of Bali, end quote. Now, it further stipulated that if cremation in Bali was not able to be accomplished, he wanted at the very least his ashes scattered in Bali. So, according to The Guardian, his body was cremated in New Jersey, but his ashes were indeed spread via a Buddhist ceremony in Bali. As we start winding this episode up, you know, it's really refreshing to see an estate play out well, play out without drama and fighting, play out exactly as the person who passed away called for. Even as far as his body disposal, right? It appears things went totally according to David's plan, and that makes my little estate planning attorney heart so, so happy. So as we head into the holiday season, remember this episode, remember David Bowie, remember the gift he gave to his family of not only leaving an estate plan, but also the gift his family ultimately gave to each other of fulfilling David's wishes and doing so without any kind of drama or fighting. Alrighty, I think we're ready to wrap this episode up. Next week, we are back to a cautionary tale episode where we talk about real life clients, real life cases that I or my office have actually worked on. always good stuff on those episodes. So next week, we are going to talk about a client I recently helped who's actually pretty young. They're in their 30s. They're actually younger than me. I'm 35, approaching 36 very rapidly. But they're in their early 30s. But sadly, the wife lost her parents when she was younger. And when her parents passed, they had created in their estate plan a trust for their kids. And of course, my client included as being one of their children. Really, they did so to protect the inheritance from minor children being a bozo with money. Well, I recently reviewed the trust for her, and I was like, well, this would be a good one to talk about on Legal Tea. Oh, sounds like my dog Flossie wants to chime in on this episode. So yeah, tune in for that next week, my friends. And until then, take care. And be well.